What's up, everyone? This is your girl Erica, and welcome back to the She's Fearless podcast. I hope you guys are having a fabulous day. I'm a little tired, but it's been a good day. You know, it's in the 60s here where I live at, and I am so happy. For the rest of the week, it's supposed to be really nice. And so I'm not a cold person. I don't like cold weather, even though, yes, I live in Ohio. But I'm so excited about it being warm this week. And I think going into next week, it's supposed to be warm. So I am not a winter person. I know a lot of people's favorite season is fall. I'm not a big fall person. I love the colors of fall, I enjoy my summers. I enjoy being able to not to wear socks or wear flip-flops or wear my shorts or my tank tops or whatever. But winter, no, I can deal with fall, but winter is not my thing. But I am so happy that the weather is warming up, and it's daylight seems to be longer now. So it's getting to that point where, you know, we can eventually come out of, or for some of us, can eventually come out of our winter jackets and stop wearing sweaters and stuff. So I'm excited about that. Today, I just wanted to talk about, you know, I was watching, or I've been reading. I don't know if you guys are into sports. I'm into sports. I grew up being a tomboy, and, you know, I had three older brothers, and pretty much all the kids in my neighborhood growing up were like boys. So I just kind of like, you know, just enjoy playing with my brothers and their friends. So I grew up being a tomboy and like watching sports, watching football and playing tag football with my brothers and their friends. And so I'm not really a basketball fan. I'm more of a football fan. But I've been kind of like, in so many ways, keeping up with this thing with the Lakers. And there's a basketball player. I think his last name is Westbrook, and he's kind of have not been playing the best basketball for the Lakers. And so, you know how like fans are when you're a true diehard fans and you're upset because your basketball team or your football team or whatever team is not playing up to par to how you want them to play. And so when that happens, sometimes fans will boo you, or sometimes fans will like, you know, the fans can be kind of brutal at times. And so this guy, Russell Westbrook. And so he's supposed to be good or whatever, but he's been having like a really bad slump where he has been playing poorly. And so like the fans have been like, you know, name calling him and saying some things. And he's like have said, he talked about how much he does not appreciate it, blah, blah, blah. And I guess I read or heard somewhere that the fans have, I guess, allegedly has been, like, taking it to, like, actually saying things about his family, his whatever. I've heard this been, like, death threats. I don't know how true that is. I don't know. But, you know, because you can't, like, believe everything that you read. But, it, you know, it's when I read this or heard about this, like, for some reason, it really bothered me, like, to the point where I was just really bothered by it. And I know that, you know, there are teams that I like that I get upset whenever that they don't play well, or one of my favorite players don't play well. But it's like, it got to the point where, like, you know, like, the fans were kind of being a little brutal. But then people were saying, like, he needs to boss up, and the fact that this is what happens when you play sports, when you do anything, you're going to have your fans, and they're going to boo you. Like, if you play poorly, that's just what, you know, that is just how it is, you know. And people were saying, well, he's not the only person that's ever been done to. But, and you know, it got me thinking about the, like, far as how the fans was talking about him and bringing his family into it. And that is what I want to talk about, because it bothered me to the point where, you know, you don't know what is going on in somebody's life. You don't know somebody's mental or emotional state of being. And people don't realize that their words have power. And what you might think is something minor could be something major to somebody else. And so that is what I want to talk about your words having power. And I know I've talked about like the mouth and how we need to watch out about what we say, but I just want to stick on the, you know, continue with this far as your words have power. Like, your words really have power. It can bring life or death to a situation. It can bring pain or healing. It can build others up, or your words can tear others down. The choice is yours. You can choose how you want your words to affect not only others, but also yourself as well. We sometimes don't even speak good about our own self. We put our own self down. We belittle our own self. We call, you know, ourselves stupid or whatever, or you can't do this, or you can't accomplish that. Like, we even talk to ourselves in a negative way. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. What motivates your words? That is one of my questions. What motivates your words? When our speech is motivated by Satan, by the devil, that our words are filled with, full of bitter envy, selfish ambitions, earthly concerns and ideas. They're full of disorder. They're full of evil. But when our words are motivated by God and his wisdom, then our words are full of mercy, are full of love for others, peace, consideration for others, submission, sincerity, and righteousness. Some of us, or some people, don't realize the effect that their words or our words have on others. A lot of times we speak without thinking, you know. We also speak out of anger and pain. You know, there are times when we get mad, or we tend to, I know that I, when I get mad, sometimes I say things that, because I'm speaking out of anger, I say things because I'm mad. And I just say things, and I don't think before I say what I, you know, want to say or, you know, before I say it. Sometimes we speak out of anger because we're angry at that person. We speak out of pain because maybe that person has hurt us. And we just speak and say things just to hurt the other person because we were hurt. In other situations, there are people who knows what they are saying. I mean, they will intentionally say things to bring pain, damage, and hurt on purpose. I mean, they know that what they are about to say is going to bring pain to that person because they're hurt and they're angry. I mean, I've been on both sides of the, you know, of the stick. I've hurt people by my words. And sometimes it was intentionally, and sometimes it was unintentionally. And when I say like things like intentionally, like I wanted to say those things. I wanted to get back at that person, like I said earlier, because they had hurt me. And so I knew that there were times where I knew what to say in order to get back at that person because I was angry and I was hurt. And then there are times where I didn't really mean to hurt them with my words. I wasn't thinking, but at that time, I didn't realize the effect that my words had had on that person until I saw the hurt and the pain in their eyes or on their face. Or when they came to me and told me that they were hurt by what I said. And we've all need to be careful, not just you, but me as well. We all need to be careful about what comes out of our mouth. We don't know what someone, like I said earlier, we don't know what someone is going through when we say the things that we say to them. That person could be close to the edge, be like on the edge, on the verge of committing suicide, on the verge of whatever. And just that one little thing, that one little word that you felt like you needed to say, that one thing that you probably didn't think was a big deal, could send that person off the edge. I mean, they were already like struggling anyway. They were already hanging on for dear life. But we sometimes tend to word vomit on someone. And we did more damage to them than what it should have been. And yes, we can apologize. We can say we're sorry to that person when we say things to someone that we've hurt. Yes, we need to apologize. But you can't take back all that you said to them. I mean, once you said what you said, it's already out there. You can't take it back. You can't just, you know, like rewind that whole situation. I mean, once it's out there, it's out there. All we can do is that we can pray for healing for that person. Pray that God brings healing. You know, once we apologize, we pray that God will bring healing and that they will forgive us. And we can pray that God will help us to be wise with what we say and how we say what we speak to people. There are four types of tongues. I was in my Bible, there's a section in it was somewhere in Proverbs, and it was talking about four types of tongues. It's the controlled tongue, the caring tongue, the conniving tongue, and the careless tongue. Now, the control tongue is a speech pattern that thinks before speaking. It knows when silence is best and gives wise advice. That's like when you're in a conversation or an argument with someone and you guys are not really agreeing and you find yourself like getting upset and you want to say something but you hold back. That's what that's about. You don't say what you really want to say. You remain quiet. You don't like just word vomit. You're very careful about how, you know, what comes out of your mouth. The caring tongue is a speech pattern. So that's the control tongue. And now we're going to talk about the caring tongue. The caring tongue is a speech pattern that speaks truthfully while seeking to encourage, which means there are times where you need to say things, to speak the truth to someone. But there's a way to do it. There's a way you can speak the truth to someone and encourage them. You know, you don't just blatantly just say stuff and don't just care about how it comes out or the repercussions of what happens when you say what you say, even though you may be trying to help that person or to speak truth to that person. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And if you deliver it in a way that is caring, that is kind, that is that person will know, you know, like you're trying to encourage them, but you also want to be truthful with them, there is a way to do that. The next one is the conniving tongue. The conniving tongue is a speech pattern that is filled with wrong motive, gossip, slander, and a desire to twist the truth, which means what you're saying about that person, that like you have wrong motives of why you're saying what you're saying. When we gossip about people, you know, I mean, we've all done it. I've done it. Gossip about someone. When we, you know, like desire to twist the truth about someone. Yeah, you know, that may be not be all the way truth, but we kind of twist it, you know, twist the truth. That is the conniving tongue. And lastly, the careless tongue. The careless tongue is a speech pattern that is filled with lies, curses, quick-tempered words, which can lead to rebellion and destruction. Just like earlier when I was talking about how there are times where I've gotten mad and because I'm angry, I'm my temper is like quick and I'll just sometimes just blurt out. There have been times where I blurt out stuff and it's just like because I'm like, you know, my temper is like, you know, crazy and I'm mad and I want to just blurt it out and I'm just, you know, whatever. So these are the four tongues: the control tongue, the caring tongue, the conniving tongue, and the careless tongue. And I know that we've all been some, if not all, of these tongues in some point in our lives. Now, just imagine how you felt. Like, I know that we've all been hurt. I know that we've, different people in our lives, whether it's been family members, whether it's been a friend, a coworker, have said something to us that has hurt us. Like what they said to us was hurtful. So just imagine how you felt when you were injured or hurt by what someone said to you or about you to someone else. Think about how painful that was for you to hear those words. How what they said, like, think back to how it affected you. You know, what they said may not have been true, or maybe it was true, and maybe they just said it in the wrong way. But whatever they said injured you. It hurt you. If we know the pain that it caused, that is caused by words, then why do we continue to speak words that hurt, words that tear down, that bring death to people? Do we really need to say what we want to say? I mean, I get it. There are times when there are things that needs to be said. Sometimes you need to tell somebody the truth. You know? And when I was talking about the four tongues, the caring tongue is a speech pattern that brings truthfully, that speaks truthfully while seeking to encourage. So there is a way to speak the truth to someone. If the truth needs to be told, there is a way to do it without being mean and brash and hurtful. So my advice is to ask God to give you wisdom on the right thing to say to that person in the right way at the right time, so you don't cause destruction, so you don't cause damage to that person, so you don't injure them. In James 3, it talks about taming the tongue. James chapter 3 talks about taming the tongue. And James compares the damage the tongue can do to a raging fire. The uncontrolled tongue can do terrible damage. And Satan will use the tongue to divide people and put them against one another. Idle and hurtful words are damaging because they spread destruction quickly, and no one can stop the results once they are spoken. Just like if you take a simple match and you strike it and you put it down on like a rug or like, you know, a bed or something, that match can, once that flame, that fire hits something, it's going to spread. Not only is it's not going to stay on that bed or that carpet that you, or that rug that you put it on, it's going to spread throughout that room. And not only throughout that room, it's going to seep out into the hallways, into the other rooms. And pretty soon, your house is engulfed in flames off of that one little match, that fire that you struck. That is how the tongue is. That one little word. Maybe you didn't think, like I said, maybe you think it was a big deal. Maybe you thought you was joking. Maybe, you know, you thought you were trying to be funny, you know. But that one little thing, maybe you were trying to be honest and be truthful. Maybe you're trying to, you know, maybe you're trying to help that person. But that one little word, those words that we say have power. A few words spoken in anger, or not even in anger, can destroy a relationship that took years to build. What you say and what you don't say are both important. Proper speech is not only saying like the right thing, like the right words at the right time, but it's also controlling your desire to say what you shouldn't. Now, everything that you want to say, you don't have to always say what's on your mind. I remember my mom years ago, like I used to tell my mom, like, oh man, I just want to say this. Like, I feel like it's like burning inside of me. It's like I need to get it out. And she would tell me, she's like, Erica, everything, you don't have to speak everything that comes to your mind. There are some things that you need to just let it go and to keep quiet. Not everything that you think that's on your mind, okay, I need to release it. I need to say something, like how I used to be. Like, I had to get that out. I had to say what I had to say. Otherwise, like, you know, it's, you know, I felt like I couldn't make it unless I said what I had to say. And there were times where I had gotten into like a confrontation with somebody. And later on that day, when I got home or whatever, later on that day, I was thinking like, man, I should have said that. That would have gotten them. Like, that would have had, you know, knocked them down a peg. And I thank God that I wasn't thinking that way when I was in that argument or that confrontation with that person. I thank God that I didn't say that thought didn't come into my mind until after, later. And by that time, I pretty much wasn't really mad at that, you know, at that point in time. But I'm so glad. And when I look back at it now, I know it was God not allowing me to think that way at that particular time when I was having that argument. Because if I would have said what I said to that person, then it would have caused even more damage with that person. And so I'm so glad that God kept me, or, you know, or didn't allow that thought to come into fruition. So before you speak, ask, is what you want to say true? Is it true? Ask yourself, is it necessary? Do you really need to say that? Like, is it really necessary for you to say what you want to say to that person? Ask yourself that. And ask yourself, is it kind? What you are about to say, what you want to say, ask yourself, is what you want to say, is it true? Is it really necessary? And is it kind? And if you answer no to any one of those questions, then it's best you don't say anything at all. Like my mom used to say, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Just keep your mouth shut. Because if you open up your mouth, it's going to cause damage. Your tongue is going to be like a fire that's going to set something on fire and destroy it. And there's no turning back from that. Yeah, there's healing that can come from it. There's forgiveness. But you've already said what you said. And that's why we all need to be careful about how we say the things that come out of our mouth. Be careful about what we say. And sometimes there are times when we need to just keep our mouth shut. I was reading an article, and it was on Christianity.com. And the article was about the power of the tongue. It talked about how words are produced. It said words come from the heart before they land on the person's tongue. So even though you may have spoke that thing that came out of your mouth, it was in your heart before it came out of your mouth. Proverbs 18:21. I was talking about Proverbs 18:21 about it being life and death. Your words are life and death. And it says, so when you read Proverbs 18:21, you should read the verse knowing that your words are produced from your heart. So when you read that Proverbs 18:21, look at it like this. Life and death are in the power of your words. Spoken words that comes out of your heart. I'm gonna read that again. Life and death are in the power of the spoken words that comes out of your mouth. So whatever comes out of your mouth was already in your heart. It starts in the heart. Just like I said last week, it starts from the heart. Matthew 12:33 says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Luke 6:45 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of the evil heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So what's in your heart comes out through your mouth. So whatever is in your heart comes out through your mouth. If you speak evil things, nasty things, then that's how your heart is. But if you speak words of love and kindness and healing, words of wisdom, then that is what's in your heart. And like I said earlier, it's not only what you say about others. This also applies to how you speak about yourself as well. So we need to choose how we're going to speak. Do you want to speak words that bring life? Or would you rather speak words that brings death? The choice is yours. Which are you going to choose? Life or death? And I'm at a point in my life where I want to bring life from when I talk to people, what I say to people, how I say it. I want whatever comes out of my mouth represent God. Just think about, like, if you're upset with that person and you feel like you need to say what you want to say, think about, okay, is what I'm about to say, is what I want to say, will God be pleased with what I'm going to say? Will he be pleased? Will this make God happy to know that you are tearing somebody down with your words? That you are intentionally trying to hurt that person? Yes, that person may have hurt you. Yes, that person may have done something to you. Yes, that person may have said something hurtful to you. But God is not going to hold you accountable for how that person treats you. God's going to hold you accountable for how you treat that person, on what you say to that person. So like I said, it's your choice. Your choice. How do you want to speak to people? You know? I mean, you know, hurt people hurt people. And so when you're hurt, you say things out of pain. When you're angry, you say things out of anger, you know? But there comes a time when we need to say, okay, enough is enough. I want to represent God in all that I do and all that I say. And what I'm going to say right now is will not represent God, will not bring healing to anybody, does not represent God's love, does not represent God's mercy and forgiveness, does not represent God's peace and healing. It represents everything that is not God. It represents Satan. It represents evilness and selfishness. It represents everything that does not represent God. So, like I said, this choice, the choice is yours. Well, that is all for today. I pray that you were blessed by this and, you know, choose life or death. What do you want to speak from your word, from your mouth? Life or death? Well, until next time, I will see you and have a blessed week, and I will see you next week. Peace.